You're listening to the Denver Real Estate Investing Podcast, where it's all about helping you grow your Denver real estate portfolio. Here's your host, Chris Lopez.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. My name is Chris Lopez, and today we're going to be talking about the Denver market, and we're giving an update for October 2019. So my name is Chris Lopez. I'm a real estate agent who focuses on investment properties here at Your Castle Real Estate. And my co-host today is Joe Massey, who is the Senior Loan Officer at Castle & Cook. Joe, good to sit down with you again.
Chris, thanks so much for having me, man. I love these market updates. Glad we're doing this. Get tons of positive feedback from folks out in the community, so I hope this is useful. And, you know, want to throw out, if you ever have questions or specific topics that you'd like us to hit on for the market update, let us know. I think we always come up with good ideas, but if there's something that you're thinking to yourself, hey, I wonder what's happening in XYZ question, there's probably other people listening that have the same question, so let us know. We'd love to chat about the things you're interested in.
Yes, please do reach out to us on that. We love just diving the data and going down rabbit holes. So we're going to start off with the active inventory graph that shows inventory at the end of the month compared to the inventory that's sold. So if you guys have been to any of our classes or our webinars or podcasts before, you've definitely heard us or seen us talk about this slide probably like 100 times at this point. But it's a wonderful slide because it shows about the last 10 years of data of how many homes, so single family, so homes, condos, townhomes, how many properties were sold in Denver Metro, and then how much inventory was on the market. So you look back 10 years ago, we had lots of inventory. That's when the world was falling apart. And then right around 2011, 2012, 2013, it went from lots of inventory to this low inventory market that we have been in. So ending in October of 2019, we ended about 8,557 active inventory. So if you look back the last couple of years, that's actually higher than what we have been seeing. But I want to talk about this for a minute because it was actually September, and I forgot to do the September podcast for this because we just got busy doing deals.
You have a baby in September?
Well, that happened too. Okay. So I got really busy.
We should point that out.
I get a hall pass?
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
You took a month off to give birth.
Yes, well,
I guess your wife did that.
My wife did. She had the hard job.
Yeah.
But what I want to kind of talk about here, give everyone perspective, because the last, from like 2015 to 2018-ish time frame, we had that really hot seller's market where it was just kind of like the same updates for those 3 or 4 years. And then I felt a market shift. It was September of last year.
Yep.
And that's why I talked about other people. And then we started throwing the data on there. It was just like, hey, the market has just been going full throttle forward. The accelerator has been mashed down. And all of a sudden, someone just kind of tapped the brakes real fast. Nothing major, but we had a little brake tap there in the car. We're all, whoa, what was that? What happened here? Like, mm-hmm. Why did we tap the brakes? And that's when we saw that increased inventory. So that was September. And so now we're a year and 1 month from when the market had that little brake tap. So I want to kind of give you that perspective because we've been at that 1 year mark, and I've been really excited to see or interested to see, hey, what does that year over year data look like when we start looking back from when that market started to shift slightly to now? So at 8,557 inventory, the 40-year average for October is about 15,700. So still well below the average. All-time high was just under 30,000 in October of 2006. Our record low was about 6,300 in October 2017. So at 8,500, the market definitely had a little brake tap here. But 8,500, it's a lot closer to the all-time low of 6,300 versus the all-time high of almost 30,000. And we're still almost half below what the average has been. So what does that tell you, Joe, in a snapshot?
It's becoming a more balanced market, but it is not a bubble. It is not something that sellers need to freak out. It's not something that buyers are going to suddenly be able to get properties 10% under list price, 20% under list price. This does not indicate home values are going to start declining. To be frank, this is just kind of getting back to normal. Now, it feels weird when things have been going so crazy for so long, and then you get back to normal. You're like, oh my God, the sky must be falling. No, it's not. We're going back to normal. It's okay.
And jumping forward to the next slide here, this is a data snapshot. And a lot of this data is coming from the Denver Metro Association of Realtors that publishes data a couple days after the end of the month. So if we look at the active inventory for October of 2018, we're at 8,539. We're at 8,557. So what's that, like like 20 properties.
Yeah, 19, 18. It's almost exactly the same.
Yeah. So we had a 0.21% increased inventory from year over year. And we saw a very similar number from September to September last month. So while we had a lot of inventory build from last fall and the springtime, it seems like the inventory build has stabilized because we're not seeing the inventory continue to grow. And Joe, I mean, my thought on there might be something to do with the interest rates.
Yeah, interest rates are still super low, actually better now than they were back in the summer. And, you know, I think it's still a great time to buy properties. Sellers out there, you're going to see properties continuing to go up. Look at the average sold price this year of 19, $486,000. Last year in 18, $469,000. So you've had a $17,000 increase, you know, roughly 3, 4% appreciation. Interest rates are still low, which allows buyers to get in and be able to afford that monthly payment, even though the value of the home has gone up. Great time to buy, still a great time to sell. Very, very balanced.
Yes, and that's a great thing to talk about because a lot of these other numbers, days on market, that's about the same as what we saw a year over year. I mean, they went up like 3 days, which is not a huge, huge number. But the important thing is, yeah, the inventory started slowing, started building. The market has slowed down a little bit, but as Joe said, we're still seeing appreciation. Now, we're not seeing the 8 to 10% appreciation we saw last couple of years ago, but right around a 4 or 5% appreciation, which is still really good. And that's actually better for a long-term healthy market.
I think it's super appropriate for long-term. I love it.
So anything else you want to talk about on this slide, Joe?
Buy more properties, sell more properties. Great time to transact. That's it.
Amen.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at here now, and we'll do our best to describe this. This is internal Yourcastle data that they publish every single month. Actually shows the number of showings per listings of their agents. So through the main showing service here in Denver, centralized showing service, Yourcastle is able to track all the listings for their Yourcastle agents and see how many listings or how many showings are scheduled for their listings. So it's not 100% accurate, but it's really, really close to it. And it gives us a good snapshot as far as what we're seeing here. So when it comes to showings, we're looking at the 2019 line. And if you guys remember us talking about this or showing it to you, when we hit that August-September timeframe last year, it actually looks like a cliff on the graph. We're looking at the blue line here. We're at like 18 showings per property in August 2018. Then you go to September 2018, the 1 month later, showings drop from like 18 down to about 7. So a huge, huge drop, and actually just looks like a cliff on the graph. And what that's the lowest it's been since like 2012, which was still considered the recession time. So this is what got a lot of people's eyeballs popping out and looking at. And they're like, oh, what's going on here? So going forward to this year, the 2019 year, we're looking at that same time frame from August to September. There is no major drop off. August 2019 was right around, what's that, like 13 showings per listing.
Yep.
September, right around 13 showings per listings. October is right around like 12 or 11 showings per listing. And the lower showings per listing, this is perfectly normal for this time of year because we have seasonality in the market. You know, we had, what, those three snowstorms in like 72 hours in October. So that doesn't help out either. But overall, looking at the showings per listings this year, it looks much more normal. We're above the recession timeframes. We're pretty close last few years. So this is just pretty normal, I'd say.
I think it's very appropriate, right in line with what we saw the last 3-4 years as far as this month, not the cliff from last year. But, you know, you look at that purple dot there in October, it's right in line with showings per listings that we've seen the last 3-4 years in October.
So it's another indicator to me that, hey, the market is kind of going to keep marching on, that we have no major red flags down the road.
I agree.
So this, I want to talk about this because every quarter, the Apartment Association of Metro Denver releases apartment data. Now, this is for the, you know, the big apartment buildings and big investors, which, you know, most of us, I classify us as mom and pop investors. We don't own 100, 200 apartment buildings. So a lot of this is coming from data that's from the bigger buildings all around Denver. But it's a really, really good snapshot as far as what the data is going on here. And what's interesting is that rents were actually down a little bit. So the average rent for this quarter, so for the third quarter in 2019, was at $1,506. You look at the previous quarter of quarter two, we're about $1,519. But then Q3 2018, we're at $1,464. So rents were still up comparing this quarter to last quarter. And what was interesting, while rents were down a little bit, concessions were even down even more. And what concessions are, that's what a lot of those big apartment buildings do. Those are those move-in specials. Hey, move in, you get a free month's rent or $200
off.
Free
TV or no security deposit.
So they do stuff because they want to get people in the apartments. And that's not because they can't fill them. That has to go back to do with their construction loans. Hey, once they hit a certain occupancy limit, they can get out of their construction loan and then refinance into a great long-term Freddie loan or some other like, you know, private bank loan and get much more favorable financing. So just because you see a lot of concessions, that's not a bad thing. That's just the apartments getting their financing and or getting their occupancy rates where they need to so they can finance into better longer-term financing. Kind of like what we would do if we're doing the Burr strategy almost.
That's exactly what it is.
Let's go from this higher interest rate to a nice, you know, 10, 20-year fixed rate and get a much lower rate. So the fact that concessions are down, I think that's a positive sign for landlords. But here's the interesting thing. Vacancy is down. So we're at 4.7%. If you look, the previous quarter it was 5%. And then this quarter, 2018, was 5.5%. So Joe, from a big level, a big, you know, 10,000-foot level, when vacancy drops, what do rents do?
Go up.
Yep.
Generally.
Why is that?
Supply and demand.
Yeah. It's very, very simple. And that's why I imagine there's headlines out there that rents have dropped. I am not concerned about that. I think the vacancy is a much better forward-looking indicator. And so since vacancy is dropping, concessions are dropping, I would say apartments are kind of probably good for a while longer.
I agree.
That's my best crystal ball guess.
Yep. I'm as happy as a clam being a landlord. Want to keep doing it.
And there was one other interesting thing on here. Let me find my notes on here. So absorption rate. So there was about 2,081 new units delivered. And so that puts Denver Metro at a total of about 355,000 total apartment units. So for this current quarter, there is a net absorption of 2,917 units for Denver Metro. So that's 900 more than new units came online. And absorption is the net change of the number of apartment units rented in the current time period compared to a previous one. So that's just saying, great, there are this amount of new units on the market, how many were rented, and that's the market absorbing them. Again, that's another good thing. Another good indicator and jives with the lower vacancy. We had more units absorbed than actually more new inventory that came online, which
that's
is not surprising
thing.
Me, but it's a good thing from a landlord's perspective.
Yep, absolutely.
It's a good thing for all those cranes downtown as well.
That's right.
All right, so this is, as Joe and I were talking, it's a new favorite slide of ours. So Joe, I'll let you talk about this one.
Yeah, so, you know, the last recession we had was, you know, 2007 to 2009, 10, 11, 12, you know, that's debatable when it ended. So look at the far right-hand side of this chart. Because that's our most recent recession, we have in our mind that if there's a recession, housing values are going to go down. Now, the reality is recessions and housing values are not tied together. And this chart is so timely because we see it on the news, on CNBC, on CNN, on Fox News all the time. Oh, my God, there's a recession coming. There's going to be a recession in the next 2 years. What is that going to mean? That does not equate to a decline in housing prices. So this slide, the chart on, or what's the purple is?
That's Denver.
Denver, right. So the purple is Denver housing appreciation, and then the dashed is nationwide housing appreciation. So in 2007, you see nationwide average home lost 19% during that 2000 recession. So we're going to start at the right and work our way over to the left. In Denver, 2007 recession, the average home lost 1.4%. Now, the recession prior to that, 2001, the average home in nationwide gained 6.6%. In Denver, gained 2.7%. 1990 recession, average home price gained 2.7%. 1981 recession, average home price gained 11%. 1980 recession, average home price gained 7.3%. So, four out of the last five recessions, home prices have increased. Do you think you need to be worried about the next recession, Chris?
I should not be laying awake at night worrying about it.
That's right.
And it's not stopping me from buying more rental properties.
That's right. According to this slide, which this is isolated, in our next recession, we have an 80% chance that home values are going to continue to go up. Yeah. Now, I understand that's kind of an off-the-cuff statement, and it's not, of course, a guarantee, but recessions do not necessarily dictate that home values are going to go down. So if you see that, you get nervous about that, that does not mean we're in a bubble. If a recession is coming, that does not guarantee that your home value is going to lose 20%, 5%, 10%. This is just historically accurate data that in the past, recessions, we've still continued to gain value in homes. So take that for what it's worth. I think this is a really powerful slide that recession and home values are not tied directly together.
Yeah, and this is, I'm not keeping my money on the sideline. I think it's still a great time to buy. And I recommend my clients, I don't think you should keep your money on the sideline as well, because trying to time the market is a very hard thing to do. And I think you'll be waiting a long time until we see a major price decline. And an interesting thing to note is that, you know, a recession does not equate to a housing crisis.
Right.
But the thing was, in that last recession, 2007, it was a housing crisis that led
that
to the recession.
That caused the recession.
Yeah. And so that's why we saw a huge, huge decrease in prices.
Yep.
But these other recessions, I was not, you know, the little bit I've read about them, I don't think those were housing crisis driven.
No, they were not.
Those are just general economic and whatever the heck happens for recessions.
I want to add just one thing that Chris touched on. We put our money where our mouth is. I actually closed on a residential condo that I purchased about 30 days ago, and I'm under contract on another property, purchasing, closing in December as well. So, you know, I know we're out here telling you guys it's a great time to buy, but this is not just someone preaching at you and not actually doing it. We are actively purchasing properties. We're actively participating in the market, actively participating in transactions, purchasing properties just like you guys. So I wanted to point that out just as kind of a side note.
Yeah, and I am too. I mean, Joe closed a cash out refi my primary 2 days ago before we record this. I'm waiting for the wire to hit. I think it's tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm going to go out there and hopefully buy two, maybe three more rental properties in the next 3 months.
By the way, I'm not sending you a wire. I'm bringing you all like $20 bills.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And we'll meet in the dark alley somewhere?
Yeah, it'll be great.
Perfect. I like that plan. All right. So last slide here, and then we're going to wrap up. And this is just more data from CoreLogic. So I'm going to read it here verbatim to you. CoreLogic found that Denver property owners are sitting on a record high amount of home equity. So don't expect foreclosures or short sales to return anytime soon. Additionally, Colorado has some of the lowest mortgage delinquency rates, which is 90 days late on payments, of any state in the U.S. There's no evidence of a bubble like we had in 2007. So, end the quote there. Something just more data that housing is looking strong. Don't wait around for foreclosures. Don't wait around for short sales. But the flip side of this is, do what I just did. If you got a lot of equity in your home, you may want to tap into that to go out there and buy some rental properties. And actually, some very near future episodes after doing this, I'm going to do a series on tapping into equity in your house and also your rental property and how to use it to go out there and buy more properties. From a very high level, I call it playing adult Monopoly, going from your one greenhouse to three greenhouses to a red hotel, and understanding how to reposition equity and possibly tapping into equity on your primary or a rental property can be a very smart move in the long run. So if you're one of those investors or property owners that have a lot of equity, make sure you check out our future series that should be hitting like 4 to 8 episodes after this recording comes out.
Yep, that's going to be a great one.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that wraps up for this. As Joe said, if you guys have questions or requests, definitely reach out to me or reach out to Joe. Our contact details are in the notes here, or you can always go to denverinvestmentrealestate.com for more details. So thank you for listening. And Joe, thank you for your time today.
Chris, I always appreciate it. Looking forward to next month's roundup, and we'll see you guys soon.